Dr. Jeffrey Halstead has been Canandaigua's hometown dentist for more than 35 years, offering routine dental care as well as cosmetic dentistry, implants, and dentures by their highly trained and experienced staff. Visit them online at canandaiguadentistry.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Do you want to know what's happening in the Finger Lakes? We do too. We're going in depth with decision makers in the heart of upstate New York to get the answers you need. From the team of FingerLakes1.com, this is Inside the FLX.
Today we're talking with Canandaigua Mayor Bob Palumbo about City Council's April meeting. We have a ton to get to, including major points highlighted in City Manager John Goodwin's strategic plan. Mayor, thanks so much for being here. First things first, from your seat in the House, what were the biggest takeaways from last week's meeting?
Well, we did have some couple issues we took care of. One major one is that we've been working on for a while is the downtown parking plan. And, everybody wants all day free parking and really can't do that. Actually, a lot of it was driven by the merchants that wanted to see, time limits, which we do. When we are bumping it to 2 hour parking from hour and a half in the time spots, we added more handicap parking closer to the stores. We've also been trying to work on some on-street parking, which has turned into quite an issue as far as, DOT regulations and what's required for that. But we are working on that. Had several residents, ask about more on-street, or not more, just on-street handicap parking. There are quite a lot of regulations around that. We are working on it. We did a few months ago hire a part-time police officer to monitor the parking downtown, which, as always, hasn't gone over very well with some, the ticketing. But there is a lot of free parking, all-day parking, and it's just a matter of everybody wanting to be as close as they can. So we are working on those issues, and we have come up with a new parking plan, which will be adopted. Probably be adopted in the next couple months to get that going forward.
As far as the parking plan is concerned, what do you think the big takeaway will be for the average city resident in terms of change from present circumstance?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that, we are providing a little bit more of all-day parking. That's a good point, especially for people that work and live downtown. That's one thing that's come up lately is that, we did have a couple of initiatives to second and third floor of downtown buildings to be apartments or short-term rentals. So we have a lot more, overnight parking downtown that we never had before. So we've had to accommodate that, those people that are living downtown now, which is fantastic. Just makes downtown a little more vibrant. And obviously, if they're there, they're using restaurants and shops. So as far as the, shopper downtown is to, find a longer-term parking, or, I think the two-hour plan would help if somebody's coming to a restaurant, just doing some, shopping downtown. I think, 2 hours is a pretty good time. Gives them a little bit more than an hour and a half to wait. So I guess that's the biggest takeaway, is just a little bit more time to spend downtown.
How challenging is it navigating that, given the balance that has to be struck between, I'm sure, the desire for more parking and more access to parking in general, with the idea that, Canandaigua is one of the most walkable downtowns in the entire region. And I'm sure the volume of parking that you have in a city like that really does play a pretty big role in how much parking you can actually open up.
Yeah, it is a challenge, but we did last year, we did a parking study for the whole city, from downtown to the lakeshore, and what we found downtown was there is adequate parking. They went through several different times to, evaluate the parking, and there is adequate parking. As someone said, we don't have a parking problem, we have a people problem. Of course, everybody wants to be within sight of where they're going. And, my takeaway is, if you look at the malls, they're parking quite a distance from when it's full, you're parking quite a distance to the mall and then walking within the mall to where you have to go. In Canandaigua, we can park, behind a store. Like you said, it's very walkable. You can be from one side of the main street to the other. My wife and I went down yesterday and we walked, both sides of Main Street and stopped at a couple of stores and, we were about an hour and a half total. So if, everybody wants to be right in front of where they're going. So if a little bit of patience and, now we have some good weather and might have to walk a little bit, but there is adequate parking. The study shows that there's, a couple off-street lots. We do have enough signage, I think, that points to the public lots. So just a little bit of patience, I
guess. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this strategic plan from the city manager. Seems pretty comprehensive, all things considered. Before we get into some of the specifics from it, when you looked it over, what were your biggest takeaways from it?
Well, I thought it was very good. We had an all-day work session a couple of months ago, and we all, especially with new council, was good. We have several new members on council, so to get some, current thoughts, updates on our, previous plan and what the interests are, was a very good session. And out of that, we put together the strategic plan. I think, it was pretty comprehensive, I thought, pretty much across the board. Some of the big ones that there's a lot of interest in is housing, affordable housing, workforce housing. That was a big takeaway, and that's a big concern of several council members, and myself, and a big initiative, major initiative from the governor this year has been, affordable housing, more housing. So I think if we're looking at, the next DRI that we might apply for, a lot of that could hinge on what we come up with for housing plans. Canada was in a, we don't have a lot of open space. We don't have, there's two projects, one we talked about that, it's not really affordable housing. And we understand that anytime you're doing a project from scratch, that it's going to be very difficult to have, what the state would consider affordable or workforce. So that's a challenge. We do have, hopefully, our Label on Building project, which is another, part of our initiative, is to move forward with some of these projects that have kind of been stagnant, and that, there is a developer for that project now, and hopefully that'll move forward. And his plan is workforce, in that workforce price point. So hopefully that'll move forward. Another one came out of there, staffing. We want to maintain our staffing levels and to work more with our local representatives to see what we can do to get more, the aid that I think we needed to make this work.
Yeah. It's interesting looking at the breakdown on the report, it's strengths, weaknesses, threats, opportunities. I look at that strengths list, downtown, council manager relations, the park system, schools, environmental record, city government staff, finances. And then I look at the weaknesses side of that, tolerance for tax increases, stalled vacant developments, infrastructure, community engagement, housing. Seems pretty stock, but when I look at that list of strengths versus weaknesses for Canandaigua, it seems like Canandaigua's in a pretty good spot.
We are, and I think that's part of the perception that why we're having a hard time. I think, you know, we're on our seventh round with the DRI. And I think, you know, that's part of the perception. You know, if you drive down Main Street, you know, everything looks rosy. We've got, you know, it's busy, it's vibrant. Obviously, the lakefront tourism is very good. You know, you get a block or two off Main Street, that's a different story. We do have we do have issues with housing. We do have issues with low income, with the, you know, we're on the border, you know, a lot of people are on the border of the poverty level, and you don't see that. And I think that's the, you know, that's perception on the state level too. We've tried to differentiate ourselves between the city of Canandaigua, you know, and the town of Canandaigua. Income levels are different. Property value levels are, you know, average property price points are different between the city and the town. And I think that's one thing that, you know, our strategy of working with our local, you know, with our representatives, that's the point of that, that we're not, you know, Canandaigua's not all Ferraris and Porsches and that kind of thing. So it's, we're blessed that we have light, we're blessed that, you know, we can have the, you know, tourism and the people that are here. But there is another side to it as well.
I'm curious, when it comes to stalled developments, this is a gripe that I think people have in every community, no matter where they are. They look around and they sort of cherry pick the vacant spots or the empty lots that they want to, you know, be a little frustrated about or share their grievances about. If you're sort of picking out a couple, two or three priority points that you think would go a long way to easing some of the concerns that residents have in Canandaigua, what are they in terms of the ones that maybe City Council could help work toward getting moving in the next year or so?
You know, that's a tough one. Obviously, that's two parts. We have several projects that, could move forward. Problem is, or the issue is, what can City Council do towards that? So, you know, obviously the ones that are the most visible, you know, I mentioned the label on building. It's been a blight, it's been empty for 30 years. You know, there have been some good projects coming and going. I think COVID kind of stalled things for everybody. And then the prices, once we came out of COVID, are what hurting some of these. So, you know, we have that. We have the Tom's Mobile property that hasn't moved forward, but developer ready to go. You know, it's ready to go, you know, and then, you know, I know they're all, you know, have to make money to make these things work. So coming out of COVID and what the price point of materials are at, he's still in it. He's still in the game. Maybe a fall start, I hope. That's the word. Obviously, the lakefront, the Pinnacle, you know, the North Shore project, you know, that group's going to come back with a proposal. You know, so it's just going to be a matter of working with them. You know, it's hard to how much we can do. We can advocate for them to do, you know, there's a lot of housing money out there. So those are the kinds of things we can do to help move those along.
Talent attraction, that is identified as one of the threats. Obviously, I recall doing some interviews with folks who were running for City Council and a few of them who were elected to City Council this past cycle. Talent attraction, especially given that Micron was coming to Central New York, obviously a little ways down the thruway, but is that one of the areas that you're at least hopeful that the city can cash in on in terms of talent attraction? Or what do you think the priorities should be there in terms of attracting you know, young families and folks, young professionals like that to Canandaigua?
Well, you know, that's, you know, obviously Micron's a little far down the road, but there are some in the town of Canandaigua, just up the road, there were a couple of big companies coming in or expanding along that same field. And, you know, obviously that's, we want to, you know, capitalize on that. And I think that's where Canada really shines. If anybody is looking at coming here, you know, to take a, you know, that kind of a job. You know, if you look at our schools, you look at our hospitals, we've even heard they, you know, one of the things is they, that we've actually heard that keep your downtown vibrant, because, you know, as families come in, you know, that's what they want to see. Schools, hospitals, they want to see what services we provide. And we have, you know, good police, good fire department, you know, crime rate. Those are the kinds of things that I think will bring, you know, people to Canada. We've seen a lot of people moving here from out of state, whether it's for, you know, retirement or for a job or to move closer to family. We've seen that, and we've all heard good things from them and what they, you know, what they like when they see when they come.
I have to ask, tolerance for tax increases. That is that's one, no matter where you are, nobody wants their taxes to increase. Obviously it's a little tougher, I would imagine, in a place like Canandaigua, where you have, paid firefighters, paid police, you have services, more ample services to, accommodate each year in the budget. You know, as you look forward in terms of like a strategic planning, from a strategic planning standpoint, what stands out to you in terms of, maybe effectively communicating to folks who are in Canandaigua, understanding exactly what they're getting for their tax dollars?
Well, we do. We provide, you know, as far as our services, I think, like I said, we do have a, you know, career fire department, career police department, fully staffed. And, you know, we have, you know, one thing that a lot of communities don't is we provide, you know, garbage and recycling, pickup, you know, weekly. And a lot of communities don't do that, or have private, you know, companies do that. And it's a great savings compared to, you know, it's been brought up, well, what if we drop, you know, our recycling and garbage pickup? You know, it would be, you know, if we say maybe, you know, $50 a homeowner, the city dropped it, but it would be, you know, could be 2-3 times that if they had to go to private hauler. So that's a great service that we provide. You know, so the message is, and I've you know, said years on council, is that we're running a business. And just like any business, you have to, you know, you have to have the money to pay the bills. You have to have the money to provide the services. We have a, you know, strong contingency that we have to carry because things come up. And, you know, the years I've been on council, there's been, you know, rightfully so, we want to, you know, hold the line to try and stay under the tax cap. And it's been challenging to do that. As, you know, as you go through the years, things come up. And, you know, then your fund balance dwindles and, you know, potentially get into trouble at that point. So, you know, there's got to be a balance. You know, we have to move forward. We've got a lot of projects in the works. We do have good relations with the town and other communities that we, you know, we work together on. We have one unique thing about Canandaigua is that we have our water resource recovery facility, or sewer plant, nicer name, water resource recovery facility. And we have our, the water plant, we distribute water to several communities. Canandaigua was about 10,500 people, but overall we serve about 70,000 people through our water plant. And, you know, so that's, we have to keep that going. And of course there's always increases, water rates and sewer rates, and our contract with those to the other communities that we deal with. So, so it is a challenge, and I think we've done pretty good with it so far with the services we provide, and we'll continue to do it.
I have to ask, because it's going to be about 70 degrees here in another day or two. Yeah. Sun's going to be out, but we're probably going to see some showers, maybe even some thunderstorms. A lot of folks, as spring starts to roll forward, you mentioned infrastructure. A lot of people are going to think back to some of the flooding that happened last summer. That was identified as a priority area, a major one from this plan. What can you tell us there in terms of what City Council is doing as people start to think again about summer thunderstorms and the potential again for some street flooding and even some residential flooding too?
It's definitely a priority and has been, and there's been a lot of work on it, some behind the scenes, some right out in the open that we've dealt with. Working a lot with Kevin Olvaney, our watershed director, and we've done, as far as the city itself, we've done, we have done and will continue to, and the plan is to line a lot of sewer lines. We were getting a lot of infiltration into our sewers that were, you know, causing trouble with storm backup, stormwater backup. As far as the outlet through the city and that, so that's where the big work is. And our major focus there is mainly outside the city, but to improve our, you know, holding capacity for water and rain when that comes through. So working with Kevin Olvaney and his team, we've identified places that work can be done. The city and town have both put in money towards that cause. We are looking at, through the city, we have an RFP out for engineering to look at the bridges over Sucker Brook. That are they, you know, are they pinch points, choke points for the water? So there may be some major, you know, overhaul there. Last week, maybe over the weekend, I know it rained pretty heavy. Well, last week it rained just about every day, I think. And everything went smoothly. I mean, if any backups, the work that has been done through the cemetery and around North Pearl Street and that area that have been cleaned up, we're working well. We didn't get any flooding. So it is. It's a continual progress project, and we are working on that and planning on having probably in May a community meeting, have a little more information by then about engineering work that's going on, and just have I want to have a community meeting to let those folks know that are through that area as to what's going on and what's gone on up until now.
I was going to say, infrastructure work, it takes time, of course, right? A lot of these problems are maintenance issues that will be, you know, require maintenance for many, many years to come, even with infrastructure upgrades. Do you feel better now about where the city's water infrastructure is now versus where it was last summer when things really, came to a head with that one particular storm in July?
Yeah, I mean, that brought a lot of issues to light. Obviously, you know, we called it a 500 or 1,000 year storm, but that was just, and that's not to say it's going to be how long again. I think that was kind of a freak thing, the way that the storm, where it landed, you know, a mile one way or the other, probably wouldn't have the issues that we had. But it did open up a lot of, it brought a lot of issues to light that we needed to work on. And, and we are. So I feel a lot better about it now than what we did in the past.
All right. And my last question here for you before we get you going. Any action on the red light cameras from a couple months ago, or are we in the same place with that?
No, nothing new. Nothing new there. Still waiting for, to see where our local representatives feel about it. And if they don't move it forward, it's kind of a dead issue. So it could be a couple months before we ever, before that comes up again.
All right. Mayor, appreciate the time. As always, we'll be talking to you next month.
All right. Very good. Everybody enjoys it's a good shot at the eclipse today.